After a jam-packed week in the National Lacrosse League, there's only one place to be. You're listening to NLL Tonight with Andy McNamara and Carlin Getty.
Rochester and Minnesota clinch playoff spots, and it is week sweet 16 in the National Lacrosse League. Welcome to NLL Tonight on National Lacrosse League Radio, presented by Reebok Lacrosse. Andy McNamara with Carlin Gay. Follow us on Twitter at AndyMC81 and at Carlin Gay. Carlin, we have the one and only Dangerous Dan Dawson from the Philadelphia Wings.
Philadelphia Crowleys. I'm very
on
excited
the program
to have him in the house. Sacer couldn't get him last week, but he got him this week.
He got him this week. Dan Dawson in the house, and we'll ask him all about his season record setting in assists. He broke his own record. We'll talk about that in the upcoming game in Minnesota and the whole year going forward. Carlin, let's read off the week 15 results around the
Philadelphia
NLL.
Philadelphia sat down on a bye, so we'll talk to Dan about the game upcoming with the Swarm. The Swarm were in a very tough matchup. They beat Minnesota 14-9. Rochester defeated Calgary.
Huge upset.
14-12. Big win for Rochester.
They clinched.
Speaking of upsets, or maybe not, Edmonton 11-8 over Buffalo.
That's an upset.
And Colorado defeating the Toronto Rock, putting an end to that win streak.
Yep. Nick Rose looking very human in that one. And now, hey, let's get to Sweet 16, Carlin. The season's almost over. There's only 2 weeks left, and then it's playoffs, and there's still so much undecided.
Then the real season begins.
Yeah, let's begin with the Edmonton Rush versus the Colorado Mammoth, and that's a position I do not envy for Edmonton when you're fighting for that last playoff spot.
Whoa, but they're on a winning streak right now, Andy.
They are.
They're on a winning streak.
They are.
One game.
Well, they won for the third time in four games. The Edmonton Rush, 5-8, coming back. And you know what? Let's give credit to Sean Williams with 6 points. Continues to roll. He is rewriting the Edmonton Rush record book this season.
Eight assists. Playing at a top level. I mean, he's leading by example.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do as a veteran player. Edmonton could have really packed it in and gave up all hope.
Absolutely.
He didn't want to play there. They traded for him. They got back a piece.
Rabel doesn't want to play there.
He didn't want to play there, but they stuck within the locker room, and now they're getting things going for their squad.
Here's what's interesting to me, and for the records for Sean Williams, he set this year 46 helpers to break Ryan Ward's mark in 2010 for assists. Here's what's interesting to me. Derek Keenan made a very bold move, Carlin, especially in a match with Buffalo, who their backs are against the wall. They sat their second leading scorer, Scott Evans. He sat him. Coach Keenan said they want a different look on offense. So you sit your second leading scorer. That is a gutsy move.
You don't question it if it gets a W.
It paid off.
You don't question it.
It paid off.
If they had lost to the lowly Buffalo Bandits,
yeah.
I call them lowly now because things aren't working out there in Buffalo.
No.
But it didn't, so we have nothing really to argue about. I mean, he picked it. It was the right choice. Now, I don't think he'll do that same decision against Colorado, who can score 20 goals at the drop of a hat.
Well, you would think you'd need all the firepower in Colorado, burying 19 goals. And John Grant Jr., Carlin, guest on this show, continues to excel. Another 6-point night, 104 on the year. League leader. Jr. just gets it done. That's it.
Is he the MVP?
I don't see how you could argue it, really.
I can't.
I was trying to rack my brain of anybody who could really, you know, Garrett Billings, obviously the Rock MVP. He didn't have as many weapons to work with, so I think Garrett Billings overcoming a lot of injuries could be a contender. But John Grant Jr., 104 points. He's only 12 points away from breaking John Tavares' single season record of 115.
Let's go down the limb.
I'm going to go Jr.
You're going to say he's going to break it this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's averaging 7 points a game. He's going to break it.
I'll say he'll get 114.
114. and John Tavares will hang on by the skin of his teeth. So you have that Chris Levis quietly again performs. And Junior gave him a lot of love last week, and rightfully so, Carlin. You had the other weapons rolling. Jamie Lincoln. How about we talk about for rookies Crowley? You talk about Jones. Don't forget about Jamie Lincoln, career best, 6 points with 5 goals.
And most forget about a guy like him when you have a John Grant, when you have don't doubt the pro.
#DontDoubtThePro.
When you have an Adam Jones, you forget a guy like Lincoln. And he got the job done this weekend, proving that they can get secondary scoring on their squad.
Well, and that's it. Let's move to the next game. And this is do or die for the Washington Stealth.
They're already dead.
It's do or die. And until the final nail's in the coffin, Carlin, and they're mathematically eliminated, I refuse to believe the two-time finalists, the Washington Stealth, will be eliminated from the playoffs by the Edmonton Rush. They host the Toronto Rock.
They're already done.
Not mathematically.
In my eyes.
You think they're done?
They're done.
If Edmonton keeps going.
Things weren't going good in the middle of the season.
No.
It never.
Not the beginning of the season.
It doesn't matter what part of the season.
They have four wins. It hasn't been going well.
Not going to turn around at the end of the year, especially the way that Edmonton's playing. The only thing that saves Washington this week is that Edmonton has to play Colorado.
And that is, you're absolutely right. That's really the only saving grace. However, you get the Toronto Rock coming in, and I think.
A wounded duck.
Nick Rose, as good as he's played, Carlin.
He may be cut tomorrow, by the way. lost his first game.
It's 19. He's going to be cut. Matt Roick is going to come back. They're going to put Stephen LeBlanc in net. Something's gonna happen. But you have Nick Rose, three great games. The Rock, three-game winning streak, come out. And if this was a wake-up call, Carlin, because all of a sudden you see, hey, Nick Rose, this is the premium. This is the pedigree of the league in Colorado, and you got burned badly.
Yeah. And we had a conversation on Twitter with a couple of fans about whether or not the West was better than the East.
Yeah.
And we vouched for the East. We said it was close competition.
It was a tighter race.
Division race. But you look at the overall records. At the time, it was 13-8 before any games were played in favor of the West. And then the West go ahead and beat up on the East. But I still think that Toronto has the tools to beat any team out of the West in a one-game series. If you were playing best out of three or best out of five, like in other sports, maybe the top of, I guess, more talented teams would prevail. But when you're playing a one-and-done type of game, Toronto still has the tools to get it done. But
especially with that veteran club.
It all depends on the man between the pipes who make it cut tomorrow.
Nick, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Nick Rose. It will be a net between the Washington Stealth. And let's give a shout-out.
Well, who else are going to put a net? You?
Well, I can let in 19 goals. I can let in more, but I can definitely let in 19. I know that. Let's give some love to alumni guest Colin Doyle.
Yes.
Two goals, two assists. He ties Hall of Famer
Gary
Gate. Second on the all-time NLL scoring list, 1,165. Colin Doyle.
Tremendous captain. What
a leader.
Yeah.
He's not 100%. He's not playing 100% yet. He's not playing 100%.
He's playing with heart, and you can't measure that, man. I mean,
no.
Captain Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, he captained the Rock to a championship. He captained Canada to a world championship. Colin Doyle gets it done. A concerning point for the Toronto Rock, Carlin. Blaine Manning, a single assist in this, his second game back. Now, we talked about with the likes of Iannucci and other players coming out to Steve Toll. Takes time to ramp up. Mm-hmm. But Blaine Manning, who is one of the top guns of all time, was stopped cold. One assist.
He'll get it going when the playoffs start rolling around, which, by the way, Toronto did clinch their spot.
They did clinch, and they're waiting to clinch a home playoff spot. They would have done that with a win.
This is an important game, though. We can't lose this for Toronto. This can't be a situation where you go into Washington and lose to Washington. You don't have any more home games for the rest of the year. You got to win on the road, and you got to make sure that you get top spot in the East.
And with Washington, let's move to Washington now. Their backs are against the wall. If they lose, it's over. It's over for Washington.
Listen, Washington had 1 foot on the court, 1 foot on the beach somewhere in Punta Canta a long time ago.
So check out this game. So if you're a Washington fan, your team scores the first two goals in 25 seconds. You think, we're rolling. We got it. The next just under an hour, it was all Minnesota.
Yeah.
That was it.
Minnesota's been playing good ball lately.
Well, absolutely they have. And let's make one point on Washington before we move away, Carlin, is they trail Buffalo now by one game for the final spot with 1 week remaining. Both these clubs are going to be watching each other's games so closely. And get this. We said the playoff position could come down to the final game of the season. April 28th, the final regular season game, Stealth and Bandits.
Wow.
It's huge. One of those two franchises could not make the playoffs.
In my opinion, I think it's Washington. And if they do happen to sneak in, I think they're going to get beat out in the first. But, hey, who knows?
That's why you play the games, right? Let's move on to the Battle of New York, Rochester, and Buffalo in Bandit Country. Could this be one of those games, Carlin, where Rochester now takes a big sigh of relief? They have clinched.
They can't afford to do that.
They're going to remain third.
They are. Yeah, they're not catching
no.
Calgary or Colorado.
So I think this is a great chance for Buffalo to take this game.
It might be, and they need it.
They do need it.
They need it. Put their foot on the throat of Washington, which Washington's already done themselves.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you mentioned it, Andy. Coming to think of it, this is a game that Buffalo really should win. A team like Rochester may, it's a younger team, they may kind of relax now that they have clinched and they really have nothing more to play for in the standings. But
similar to a Minnesota.
We think that Buffalo's going to win some certain games, and then they don't show up, and the games that we pick Buffalo to lose, they go
yeah,
out
and they dominate.
Yeah, so.
And there's, and really, in that game where they lost 11-8 to Edmonton, the Bandits, they just didn't show up. Again, they didn't show up.
What more does Coach Darris have to do?
He can't do it. Take a family member hostage, maybe.
He threatened them.
He threatened them. He shook them.
Shook them.
Slapped them.
Yeah.
You can't, if you're Darris Kilgore, outside of this season, whether the Bandits make the playoffs or not, unless they go on a run and win the championship, I think you got to make wholesale changes in Buffalo. And that hurts me to say because Darris Kilgore, he's a great lacrosse mind. But sometimes, Carlin, after a certain amount of time, you've been coaching the same team for years, you just need a change.
Well, I think he will. I don't think he's going to take the lead. He doesn't like losing.
No.
We know that.
No.
And he doesn't like losing the way that they have been losing it. God forbid they miss the playoffs. Wow.
And
that thing will get ugly in Buffalo.
And the more I look at it, the more it looks like Edmonton could make could make it. And Washington, but again, until Washington does not make the playoffs, I will not believe that they will not make the playoffs.
I'm counting them out.
Right out. All right. Rochester winning that, breaking Calgary's win streak. So the Nighthawks playing in a big game scenario.
Win for them.
Massive win. And 14 goals. You get 14 goals on Poulin?
Yeah, the Poulin wall, as I like to call them.
That's solid.
Calgary, we saw in this game now that Calgary has some holes.
Yeah.
We saw in this game that Calgary has some holes. They need to adjust and address these type of holes and take care of them, because if that were a playoff game, Rochester would be moving on. Calgary would be going home.
You talked about, though, Carlin, trap game. They really outside, but they do have first place to play for, but it's so close, you can't help but think maybe they were overlooking it. Nobody on the team would ever say that, of course, but
you don't want to overlook, because that overlooking could put them in a Pepsi Center.
Yes,
if it comes down to that,
absolutely.
Rather than playing at the Saddle Dome down in Calgary.
Well, and for Buffalo, what do you say? That it's just so inconsistent. There's nothing more you can really say about it. Philadelphia in the final game of the weekend.
The Crowleys.
The Wings. The Philadelphia Wings come off of the bye. And we'll have Dan Dawson after this break to host the Minnesota Swarm. Now, they're looking for revenge, Carlin. Minnesota owned Philly. And that was a chance for Philly to go up a full game on Toronto for first place. Now we're deadlocked at the top of the East.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you finish first in the East, you have home advantage right through to the finals. Very important spot and a huge game for Philadelphia.
A huge game on the road for Philly. A huge game against a team that already beat them and dominated them the first time they played. And a game against a Western Conference opponent where Philly is .500 against those guys. So this is a big game for the Wings. If they're able to get a win like this, it gives them a better shot of locking up that first spot in the East Division. They do hold their own destiny in terms of that.
They do.
And B, it will send a message to the Western teams. They are not afraid.
And their business. Kevin Crowley, I know you love him. You call him the Crowley.
It's my guy.
One assist the last game before the break, Carlin.
He'll get it going.
One assist.
He'll get it
I'm
going.
I'm holding up the number one in your face right
that
now.
That is the rookie of the year,
which
folks.
Which finger is it?
If
number
you
one.
Haven't voted for him to be Rookie of the Year, that is the Rookie of the Year.
Well, for Minnesota,
don't
how
you
about
dare say Adam Jones?
Let's give some love to Callum Crawford. And we've spoke about before, Minnesota, one of those kind of hidden teams. You know, you got Benesh, he's the big name, but the young goaltenders, you have Suter, McIntosh. But Callum Crawford, 7-point night, and he's been doing it all year long.
Quietly.
Yeah.
Very quietly, and we don't give him enough love, and that's why we are the best lacrosse radio show
on
earth. On earth. Because we dig deep and we find those type of stats and give love when love is due.
That's
Callum
right.
Crawford. Shout out to Callum Crawford.
Minnesota clinched their third straight playoff berth. And again, that win was 14-9.
Carlson and Kirk, though, they're amazing. They're incredible. Doesn't matter who you put in.
Now, I will say this. I am angry with Tyler Carlson because I picked Evan Kirk in my fantasy pool, meaning I got 0 points because you never know who's going to start in Minnesota. They're both dominant.
You don't know.
Thank you, Mr. Kirk.
And they could be a scary team, probably one of those sleeper teams that everyone always comes up talks about around playoff time.
They're 500.
They can play. They're already in the playoffs. They're locked in. They can play any goaltender, and one of those goaltenders can get hot. You don't know who you're going up against.
And you can switch out. Like, look at most teams. If you're Toronto, you switch out Nick Rose. Love Pat Campbell, but he's not a starter. You do.
Well, we didn't think Nick Rose is a starter either.
I still question that, but he's good. He's been doing well. You go the other way, and kind of back and forth. You don't really have too many teams that have stellar backups in Minnesota.
We thought Buffalo had some.
Buffalo has nothing.
Talented goaltenders, but then again, we were wrong.
And I don't think it's the goaltenders. What Kilgore said, the defense in front of them has let them down. Those are two. You put Thompson or Cosmo on any championship caliber team, they're going to win your championship. That's how it works. But for Minnesota, you can go back and forth, and you don't miss a beat. Credit to former guest on the show, Ryan Benesch, returning from a concussion after three games, got his 100th goal in a Minnesota uniform, and added four helpers.
They won't win many games with him sitting on the sidelines, so good to see him back in action. And really, when he's on the floor, it creates so much more space.
Benny and the Jets, baby.
For anyone else on the floor that he plays with, Callum Crawford, one of the guys that benefits.
And Carl, one quick point before we move on. Actually, there's one more game. Is look at Minnesota's record. They're 7-7. They have the same record in third in the West as the two first-place teams in the East. That's how dominant this West is.
So they may or may not be going up against tougher competition. We don't know.
They're going to have to go through Colorado or Calgary.
Yeah,
and that's tough. Heading into the last game of the week.
Battle of Alberta.
Calgary and Edmonton. Edmonton pulling double duty at home. And Carlin, Zach Greer has been buzzing. A team leading 27 goals, inconsistent at the start. Greer is finding his form.
He's finding his form. And in perfect time for those guys down in Edmonton where we pretty much counted them out all season long.
I'm still counting them out.
Look at them on the doorstep of a playoff berth. Good on Edmonton. No one wants to play for you guys, but Greer's playing for you guys at a top level.
No one wants to play. That's true. And Calgary coming back off of the loss to Rochester. How is this Roughneck club going to respond with first place on the line and the Mammoth playing
scary
as well?
Scary to think about it. They have a lot of guys. When they're motivated, they could be very, very dangerous.
It's almost endless for Calgary.
Plus, it's the Battle of Alberta, which they've dominated.
Yeah, and you can really throw everything out the window. It's kind of like a Toronto, Washington, or Rochester Bandits. You get those emotional games, throw the records out the window. This, and we can say that almost about every game, a very important game for
the
Rush.
Every game from here on out will be extremely important. We have an important guest.
Oh, yeah.
This week, we couldn't get him last week. We got him this week. We always deliver on the NLL tonight. Dangerous Dan Dawson of the Philadelphia Crowleys in the house. Up next, plus we have fantasy a little later on. You are listening to the NLL tonight.
This is Sean Evans from the Calgary Roughnecks, and you're watching the NLL tonight.
Back on the NLL tonight with our special guest from the Philadelphia Wings, Dangerous Dan Dawson. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. Hey, first up, congratulations. And how does it feel? And this is going back a couple weeks because you had the bye last week. But how does it feel to beat your own record in a single season assist? You hit the 75 mark and you broke your old record. How does it feel?
I don't know. I'd rather have two wins than the assist for sure. We had a real tough weekend. But it just it's a testament to the guys that I'm surrounded with. They're obviously – I'm just giving them the ball. They're making me look good.
Well, this is a hard question right off the bat, Dan. What is your favorite assist? What is your favorite assist of all time? Not goal, assist.
I honestly, you'd have to probably give me a day to think about it, but probably my favorite assist would be, you know, passing to maybe Kevin Crowley in the overtime game versus San Jose this season. You know, seeing the joy on his face, that was probably my favorite one.
There you go. A Kevin Crowley reference, I love it already. You're already one of the favorites on the show, Dan. Dan, you started off your career back in 2001. You played 11 games in that season. Your entire stat total, and I'm going to say right here, 3 goals, 3 assists, 29 loose balls. You've come a long way since then, my friend. What has been the key factor in your improvement going along through your career?
Yeah, I started out as a defender, and my stats obviously – earned something to brag about back in the day, but you know, the second year coming into the league, you know, Bob Hamley really forced me to be an offensive player and forced me and molded me to be the player I am today. And my work ethic and understanding and wanting to become better is what's gotten me to this point. I've also been very lucky to be surrounded by so many great coaches and so many great teammates that have helped me in my development. You know, I'm always striving to become better every season. I would just say you're only successful if you surround yourself with good people. And I've been blessed in my career that I've had such a great staff, from coaching to organizations to teammates, that they've really helped me become the player I am today.
Well, no doubt. And Dan, you've always developed into a great setup, man. Some criticisms over the years have been that you don't necessarily shoot the ball enough and look to make those impressive passes. What are your thoughts to those points that some critics make?
Yeah, I think there's some backing to those, no doubt. I obviously, you know, heading back to Arizona and Portland, I was more of a goal scorer. I think sometimes maybe I watch too much game film and overanalyze too much, and sometimes it's good just to not overthink the game and just go to the net and put your head down sometimes, and hopefully the best outcome will happen. But for me, you know, there is obviously, when I'm watching film, there's times where I should be shooting the ball, and which will spread the defense out. But, you know, I think you'll see that more for me heading down the stretch. You know, I've obviously sat down with the coaching staff, and they've reiterated that fact that I do need to shoot more. And ultimately, you know, we got so many great shooters on our team. You know, I think Drew and Kevin and Mundy and even Mike Komenuk have done an outstanding job. So sometimes that gets overlooked, that these guys may be even better shooters than I am.
Kevin, you mentioned him, Kevin Crowley, who is a candidate for Rookie of the Year, has had such a terrific season. Though some debate may be between him and Adam Jones for the award. You play with Kevin at every game. You see Kevin play practice. What does Kevin bring to the table as a rookie, and do you think that he should win the award?
I think he should. No doubt, Kevin. I think he's number two in the league in goals, and Kevin has been, you know, very consistent throughout the whole season, and I think that some people forget, you know, he's 23 years old, and he's playing like he's been in the league for 10 years. He's such a natural, gifted goal scorer, and he's a real hard check because he's big, he's strong, he's got a great outside shot, but can also take it to the rack. So, you know, Kevin's one of those guys that's only going to get better with his reps. So, excuse me, look for him to keep going this season.
Well, Dan, through the years, through the teams you've played with, so many interesting clubs and moving your way up, how does this year's Philadelphia squad, and what has been such a tight race and a grind in the East Division, how does this team stack up with teams of your past?
They're right up there. You know, I thought we've had some excellent teams in Arizona. We had a great team in Portland and Boston. Even as an expansion team, we had some fabulous players out there. As far as talent-wise, this is one of the, you know, the most talented teams I've ever played on. Our consistency hasn't been there this season. We're still trying to dial in on being a consistent team. All great teams that have won at this level know how to put a run on late in the season, especially heading into playoffs. So, you know, we're happy with where we are. We can control our own destiny heading into the last couple games of the season, but we really need to solidify ourselves as a great team, and the only way to do that is put together a serious run heading into the playoffs.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned the playoffs, and looking at the playoff slate right now, it's very tight in the East Division.
Yeah.
Any team could kind of take first place. You guys hold it right now with the tiebreaker. Is this the tightest you've ever seen a divisional race this late in a season?
Yeah, you could be first. You could be, you know, the fourth seed heading into the playoffs. And, you know, that's a scary thought. But, you know, you look at the league as a whole, every team is in it right now. And especially with the crossover, it doesn't matter that eighth spot will be from the West or East, depending on the ranking. I think it's very important for our league that there is a lot of parity, and it just goes to show that there's so much talent coming into the league, and every team is good. So, you know, we talk about playoffs. That's our ultimate goal. We know we've clinched the spot, but right now, I think sometimes as a team, we've gotten ahead of ourselves. right now our total focus is just focusing on Minnesota. They put a good whipping on us in Philly, and we really owe them one. And they're a great, young, talented team that knows how to run the floor. They're very athletic. So, you know, our focus before we head into playoffs is strictly Minnesota right now.
I'm glad you mentioned the Minnesota. Minnesota, obviously, out of the West. And right now, the West Division has a couple teams that are sitting at top of the 11-3. And most around the media are talking about whether the West is a lot stronger than the East just because of the East parity. Do you guys, being in the East, fear anyone in the West?
I think you can fear every team in the league, you know, West or East. You know, we had a great weekend, a great lacrosse weekend versus Colorado, you know, 2-1-goal games, and we've lost to Minnesota. We've beaten Washington. We split with Edmonton. So it's especially lacrosse, you know, come playoff time and in the regular season. It's a one-game shot. It's the best team that executes that night that can win the game, and especially this season, it could be any team.
We're joined now by Dan Dawson of the Philadelphia Wings. Dan, let's take a quick step back before getting to this upcoming weekend's battle with Minnesota. You're a Team Canada member on the 2011 World Indoor Lacrosse team. You've played in international tournaments before. How did the 2011 Prague experience rank to you, and what does it mean to wear the maple leaf on your chest?
You know, wearing the maple leaf is something I'll forever cherish. You know, looking back on my career, knowing that you could represent your country is the greatest honor you could have in lacrosse, I think. And, you know, that tournament was something really special. You know, the organization that, you know, that put it together was outstanding. We got to spend, you know, 10 days overseas in Prague, and I this is my second time in Europe. The last summer prior to the indoor games, I was out there in Manchester, but it was such a beautiful landscape, and we did a lot as a team on and off the floor, and it was just outstanding. Anytime you can get to see the world and see the game growing is something really cool.
Now, you guys are coming off the bye week, and you're heading into the aforementioned Minnesota Swarm. You have two excellent young goaltenders in Kirk and Carlson. What do you see, whoever goes in net, what do you guys see where you can take advantage of one of these two young keepers?
There's not too much to take advantage of, that's for sure.
They've been great.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Kirk, he held us to under 10 goals, and anytime you do that in the NLL, you're usually going to come out with a win. And, you know, Carlson's he's put up some serious numbers this year. So for us, our focus is just capitalizing on our chances. Our shooting percentage hasn't been the best this season. And, you know, I don't really know who's going to be in net for those guys. The rotation that they're on, I don't know. It's totally up to the coaching staff. But, you know, Kirky had a great game versus us. So I kind of lean towards him being in net. And with him, we just got to get him moving and pick our spots. There's not a lot of holes in his game.
Well, Dan, the final question comes from Twitter. And, of course, fans can follow you on Twitter, at DanDawson6. This comes from at Shakes. Dangerous Dan sounds like a great pro wrestling name. How did you get the nickname Dangerous?
I really did enjoy wrestling going up, that's for sure. But
so did we.
It's not a really good story by any means. I was in Columbus as a rookie, you know, playing in 11 games out of 16, and the arena announcer said, "We're going to call you Dangerous because the D's rolled together with Dan Dawson." And by no means was I dangerous in my first year in the league. So it really didn't make sense, but it kind of stuck with me. And everywhere I go, they always say Dangerous Dan Dawson. I think it's pretty funny. I don't really make too much of the nickname, though.
I thought it might have been after the famed wrestling referee Dangerous Danny Davis from back in the day.
That's a serious reference. I like that.
We would be remiss if we didn't mention one of our friends and colleagues from the show, Sean Holmes. He has one of your training regimens up on his website where he can get your training regimen for free. What if someone was going to go on that website? What would they expect to kind of train like Dan Dawson, so to speak?
Well, you know, Sean is a good friend of mine, and Sean's really helped my development as a professional lacrosse player off the floor. He's a very knowledgeable strength and conditioning coach, and he's been helping me out, you know, for the past three seasons, dating back to Velocity days. And he's branched off and does his own thing with Prolax training, and you talk about a wealth of knowledge. He really puts me through the paces and makes me bigger, stronger, faster. and also emphasizes injury prevention. So, you know, those are keys that you really need. You're no good to your team if you're injured, and you also, especially with all these young guys coming in, you got to keep up with the pace of them and the strength. So Sean's one of those guys who has done so much for my game, and I owe a lot to my success to Sean.
Yeah, Andy and I downloaded it, and we started sweating already.
Yep. Haven't even just looking at it.
Just looking at it.
That's why we're behind the mics. That's enough.
Dangerous Dan Dawson of the Philadelphia Wings, the all-time assist leader for a single season. Dan, congratulations on the record. Good luck this week heading into Minnesota.
Hey, thanks for the support, guys. All the best.
That is Dangerous Dan Dawson of the Philadelphia Wings. His team heads into Minnesota to take on the Swarm this weekend. Fantasy is up next. Andy, prepared to get dominated. You're listening to the NLL Tonight.
Hi, this is Dan Dawson from the Philadelphia Wings. You are listening to NLL Tonight.
Back on the NLL Tonight, week sweet 16 around the league, and it is fantasy time. Carlin, who's your hotshot pick for your fantasy roster?
Nathan Iannucci of the Washington Self. Costs you $17. He'll get you 124 points. His team may not be playing well, but
no,
he's playing well individually. That's why I pick him in fantasy.
Well, he's starting to roll and getting into form. Not a bad pick. Mine is better. Zach Greer of the Edmonton Rush, $13. 169 points. Leads the Rush in scoring. $13. Go with Mr. Greer. Carlin, your freezer burn.
Stay away from Nick Rowe.
Pissed by ya.
$13 still cost you. He's only getting you 43 points. Lost his first game of the year. Gave up 19 goals. He'll give up 19 more this week. Don't put him in net.
I'm going to go with the Minnesota goaltenders, and not because they're playing badly, but because you don't know which one will start. I got burned last week by going with Edmund Kirk, and Carlson got the start. Stay away from Minnesota. They're great. You don't know who's going to play.
You know who's going to play?
Who's going to play?
This week, Dan Dawson will be back in action coming off the bye. He was in action on this very
program.
What a
great guest he was.
Dangerous Dan Dawson of the Philadelphia Wings, the all-time assist leader. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at AndyMC81. Follow me at Carlin Gay. Of course, email us NLLtonight@NLL.com. We will see you next week, folks.
Last week of the season.
It is the NLL Tonight on the National Lacrosse League Radio.